today I have a sermon for you that I feel like the Lord just said, hey, preach this. This is not part of a series. This is just a, hey, this is what God wants to say today. And the name of my sermon today is Victory in the Valley. Victory in the Valley. Valleys, mountaintops and valleys. Mountaintops are when we get the breakthrough. Mountaintop is when we succeed in some way. Mountaintop is when, you know, you get the promotion, you get the raise. Mountaintop is when your children are all behaving and everything is going just right. Mountaintop experiences. But we just don't get to live on the mountaintop all the time. Life is full of mountains and valleys, and the valleys are when instead of getting a breakthrough, there's a breakup. There's hardships, there's struggles, and we live in struggle times as well as on mountaintops. And so today, I want to show you how you can have victory in the valleys of life. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, I ask that you would use this message today to teach us, to show us, to inspire us, to encourage us how to have victories when we're walking through the valleys of life. Lord, I was just responding to the number of prayer cards that were turned in last week, and just as a way to see that there are people walking through valleys, God, large groups of people in our church walking through valleys. And so, God, my heart is that as a pastor, I would shepherd their hearts today, shepherd our church hearts, and help us to walk through this valley and to move back into mountaintop experiences in some areas of our life, God. Lord, we really love you. We need you. You're amazing, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Hey, by the way, God is doing great things. Last week in our services, we had a record high attendance last week. And so take that. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. So maybe today we'll just eclipse that. We're not about numbers. We're about people. And it's always about people. And so every number is a person that matters to us. And so God is moving. So we're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 37. It's in the Old Testament. There's a prophet by the name of Ezekiel, and so this is a book about him. He was a prophet to the Israelites. At this point in Ezekiel chapter 37, the Israelites are in captivity. And the story of the Israelites, if you read the Old Testament, they obey God and things go well. They rebel against God and things go bad over and over and over. This is a season where they had rebelled against God, and through a war they had been captured. Jerusalem had been destroyed. They were in exile, living under Babylonian rule as captives. And God is ready to restore Israel. He's ready to restore his people back. And so he speaks to Ezekiel about restoration, and he leads him to a valley filled with bones. And it says in Ezekiel chapter 37, 1 through 10, as we begin to read, it says, "The Lord took hold of me." So this is Ezekiel writing. It says, "The Lord took hold of me," Ezekiel. And he says, "I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. And they were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out." So in that culture, valleys and mountains became strategic sites for battles. And so a valley would be a place where one army would try to lure another army into a valley, and they would try to trap them in a valley because on the sides of the mountain they could rain down arrows and they could rain down, you know, throw rocks on them and fireballs on them, and you know, and they would destroy. So what would happen is they would try to lure in an army into a valley, and they would set up some sort of a roadblock on one end of the valley, bring an army in behind them, trap them in, and while they were trapped in the valley, from the mountainsides, they would begin to destroy them. I was just thinking about that in terms of what happens in our life, that we find ourselves in valleys, and that's just part of humanity. That doesn't mean you're a bad person, doesn't mean you've done something wrong. You're just a human. Every human goes through valleys in life. But we have an option of whether or not we stay trapped in the valley or not. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to trap you in that valley. He wants to trap you there so he can continue to rain down his discouragements on you, arrows that would depress you and to really cause you to lose your faith and, you know, doubt the Lord. And so those valleys are places that the enemy tries to trap people. And so what I want to do is to help you find how you find victory in the valley and move through the valley. Another thing that happens in war in that culture is at the end of a war, they would normally allow the losing army, those who survived, to come and to clean up or to bury the dead that was there. In this particular situation where Ezekiel was, he was looking at bones that were there. And so history would say that what happened was, is after this war, the Babylonians did not allow the Israelites to bury the dead, and they left them there. And they did that as a long-term reminder that they were defeated, and every time they went by that area, they would see those bones there as a reminder that they were stuck, they were defeated, and there was no way out for them. The enemy loves to trap us and continually remind us. Have you ever been in that cycle where you hear the enemy always telling you, you're defeated, it's not going to get any better, you're going to be here forever, you're going to... And that's what the enemy wants to do, is trap us in the valley. And so Ezekiel was in this valley, and the Lord was showing him these bones. And then Ezekiel, picking back up in verse 3, it says, the Lord asked me, he said, son of man, can these bones become living people again? O sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. That was like a real strong answer. He goes, you know. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. And this is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put muscle on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together, attaching themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then the skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. And then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again. So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. Then all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Have you ever heard the expression, I'm bone tired? Have you ever heard that? Have you ever said that? I'm just bone tired. You know what that means? That means you're so tired that your bones ache. I'm just exhausted to the point to where my bones are hurting. It's like, oh, I'm just so worn out that deep down I'm exhausted. When you are so tired that your bones ache, you know you're just hit the end of the road. You know that you are fully worn out. This is an expression of physical fatigue. It's like I'm overtired, I'm drained, I'm wiped out. When you're bone tired, you're dead tired. In this story, we hear and see the bones that are there. They are, you know, bone dead, I guess you could say. Their dreams, their hopes were bone dead. It was so, so exhausting for them. They were worn out. They were wiped out that the bones remained. They were bone tired. I want to say to you that whatever is going on in your life, whatever your valley is, whatever is bone dead in your life, that God can breathe life back into it again. He can stand it back on its feet again, and you can stand and be ready to fight again another day. And that's the story that he is teaching us, to have hope again, that when you're bone tired, when your dreams are bone dead, that God can restore and he can stand you back on your feet again. I want to help you to be able to be restored today by the Lord. And the first thing I want to say to you is you have to embrace the process. You have to embrace the process. The Bible says that when he led him to this valley of dry bones, it says the Lord took hold of him. The Lord carried him. The Spirit of the Lord was with him in the valley. The Lord took Ezekiel to this valley, not to harm him, but to help him. Sometimes we have to be able to understand that God is with us even in the low places. Sometimes we don't feel his hand there, but we can trust his heart that he is there with us. We're in those low places. He's not taking us there to hurt us. He's there to help us. The valley is never meant to be a harm to you, but it's always a way for God to help you. You see, the valley can serve as an important purpose in your life if you're willing to learn from it and grow in it. It's easy to celebrate when we're on the mountaintops. It's easy to celebrate. Have you ever been on mountaintops? Everybody's happy. It's Christmas time, and you put your lights up, and everybody's happy. Candy canes, it's great. If you've ever had a promotion, and you've got whatever you needed, an answer, prayer, breakthrough, we celebrate on the mountaintops. But it's in the valleys of life that we grow. It's in the valley that it stretches us to believe God. It's in the valleys where we learn to trust God. It's in the valleys where we learn to pray and seek God. It's in the valleys when people finally go, hey, I want to learn about fasting. Like, you don't learn about fasting on the mountaintops. You're like, you're celebrating. You're like, woo, life is good. But when you're in the valley and life is hard, you're willing to press in and seek God and find answers and hope. You'll do whatever it takes to find God. People, when they're in their most desperate places, they show up to church more than they ever have. Why? Because we're hungry. The valleys become places where we grow in God. We need to learn to embrace the process. We don't embrace the problem. You don't identify and become a victim, but we begin to embrace this process that God is doing something through this in my life. We need to be strong Christians. We need to have strong faith. We need to be able to stand in the moments of doubt. We need to be able to lift our hands to God when we can't feel him around. We need to be the kind of believers that can walk through the valleys and still say, God, you are worthy of my praise. We get that strength in the valley. We find our hope. We dig for it. We'll seek God like no other time, but when we're in the valleys. We need to, listen, we can't be kind of weak and feeble Christians. We need to grow in God. We need to, like, they're just like, we don't want to be shallow Christians. Listen, I think it's like the air is thin on top of the mountains, but in the valleys is where there's a rich environment for us to grow. And we got to grow through the valleys, and God wants to grow us. The reason I go to the gym is not because I love pain. I hate pain. I love comfort. It's comfortable on the mountaintops. And you got to work in the valleys. You go to the gym not because you like to sweat and stink. You don't go to the gym because you want to, you know, push yourself till you collapse. Why do you go to the gym? Because you want to get stronger. You want to get better. You want to be healthier. The reason we go through valleys is God can use that to make us stronger. He can use it to build faith in us that we won't get on mountaintops. I wish I could preach the sermon that said that, hey, I'm going to teach you how to have a valley-free life. Well, you'd be clapping the whole service, you know, like, woo, I want that. Like right now, you're processing because you're like, I'm in a valley, and how am I to grow? And what is God saying to me? It's a great way to think right now. I think of a valley in terms of like a low place, and then on the mountains, you know, there's this low spot, and then on the mountains is the place of victory. And you know what? It's in the valley that we prepare for the mountain. It's in the valley that we get strong enough to scale up to the mountain. It's in the valley. I want to get to the mountaintops. I want to get to the victory places in life, and I want all that. I want that in your life. But we've got to get fit in the valley so that we can work our way up. I think the deeper we grow in God, the deeper we grow in our faith, the higher up the mountain we can go. God, listen, the valley is a preparation season for you. It's a building season for you. It's a building season in my life. Have you ever played when you're growing up King of the Hill? Any of y'all play that? Any boys, any girls, you play King of the Hill? So I thought it was kind of a fun little game. I can remember playing King of the Hill with a few buddies. And basically, King of the Hill is there's just a hill, and one kid gets on top, and the rest charge the hill and try to take him down, and you wrestle, and you fall, and and you roll people off the hill, and finally when everybody's exhausted, there's one of you at the top, and you're the winner, you're the king of the hill. And so I was just thinking, when it comes to king of the hill, my desire for you is that you would wrestle in the valley so you can become king of your hill. I want you to get strong so you can scale the mountain. I want you to have strong faith. You build that in the valley, because God has big dreams for you. He has big plans for you. He has big things in your life that He wants to accomplish through you. And He needs you to be strong, and He needs you to be fit. He needs you to be able to weather the storms. He needs you to be able to get to the top and see the enemy and go, I'm throwing you down, because God has called me to this hill, and I'm going to stand as king of the hill that God has given me. You get your strength in the valley. That's where you get your power. That's where you find out how to pray. People learn to pray in the valleys. I've learned to pray in the valleys that I can use when I'm on the mountaintops. You got to pray. You got to seek God. We learned that in the valleys of life. God needs to change us before He promotes us. I was just thinking about the prayers that I pray. Generally, we all pray. When we're in the valley, we typically pray for God to change the circumstance. God, fix this. You know, get rid of my debt, God. Or, you know, fix my spouse, God. Or, you know, whatever it may be. We pray for the situation to change. And I felt like the Lord was just speaking to me, and He said, the prayer we ought to pray first is, God, change me. Because I can't always change my circumstances, but I can change me. And if we learn to pray, change me, if we learn to embrace this moment, this process that God has us in, I think then God could begin to work in us, then He could work through us. If we prayed, God, change me, more than we prayed, God, change our circumstances, we'd probably see our circumstances change more. I don't like that prayer, to be honest. Can I just be, I don't like to pray, God, change me. I just want God to fix everything. Just fix it, Lord. I wish I had a fix it everything God, but He says, first let me fix you. I have to prepare you. You need the character. You need the strength to be able to do all that I've called you to do. Amen? The second thing that we can learn from the story is we can look for possibilities. We can look for possibility. God led Ezekiel to the valley, and then He said, can these bones become living people again? He was asking Ezekiel, can you see the possibilities? Can you see beyond the current problems? He said, can you see the bones? And then can you see those bones living again? Let me ask you, in your valley situation, can you dream again? Can you see yourself healed? Can you see your marriage restored? Can you envision what God wants to do, what God is going to do? Can you begin to see by faith? Can you see bones, and you can see God bringing those bones back to life? Can these bones become living people again? Can you see that in your life? You have to be able to see the possibilities. You'll never move towards something that you can't see. We have to see what God can do. Now, I'm not making light of your situation. I don't know your pains and your problems. I don't know what you're going through. All I'm asking you to do today is to begin to see the situation as God might see it. Begin to see what He can do. Begin to see what God wants to do in this situation. Instead of only seeing our problems, we need to choose to see through the lens of faith of what God can do. What can you see by faith? What can God do? Well, we know with God all things are possible. We know God can restore. We know God can heal. And He asked Ezekiel to begin to see something, begin to look for possibilities ahead. I just want to remind you, church, that if you have Jesus, you have always possibility. If you have Jesus, you always have hope. If you have Jesus, there is always something to see ahead. Seeing is like code word for faith. And it's saying that by faith, I can begin to see what I haven't, what hasn't materialized yet, what hasn't come about. And so God said to Ezekiel, can you begin to see these dry bones? Can you see them come back to life? And so, church, we need to be able to see what God wants to do in that moment. And then next, I want to encourage you, we have to agree with God's promise. We have to agree with His promise, because He said to Ezekiel, He said, can these bones live again? And Ezekiel said, with like, he's like this great prophet. And so, you know, he leaned in and he went, Yeah, God, I think if we were there, the conversation probably was a little longer. I think when he said, can you see these dry bones? Ezekiel probably went, I see the bones. He said, can you see them live again? I think he went, that seems really impossible. I think he's like, And then he said, you know, whatever you say. Listen, that was the greatest yes that had no confidence in it reply there ever was. You know, like, whatever you say. But here's what I think about it. I think God can take a little yes and do something great with it. He's just looking for some agreement. He's looking for you to say, I'll take a small step in the right direction. Listen, you don't have to have everything figured out. There are so many times God answers prayers or we pray for things. I don't know how he's going to do it. Sometimes it seems so impossible. Your situation may seem so impossible. You're like, I really don't know how God can fix this. I'm in a deep valley. I'm like under a rock at the bottom of the valley that's in the river way below. And sometimes we seem like, I just can't even figure out how God could do it. Listen, God isn't asking you to figure it all out. He doesn't even need you to have 100% confidence. He just needs you to say, God, if you said it, I'm going to start agreeing with it. He just wants you to take little steps. I think sometimes when we think about faith, we think we have to take ginormous steps because we see, you know, people we admire and they, you know, they step out in faith, you know, and they take steps of faith like this, you know, they're like, and you're like, whoo, now that's a Christian. But I'm going to tell you what's still a Christian. That's faith. Listen, when you can't see it and you don't know how God's going to do it, but you're like, God, you said it. These bones are going to come back to life. I'm struggling, but you said it. 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 Before you know it, you've gone a long way. Come on. What does that look like for you? What is the you said it, Lord? Maybe you think about, you know, giving of your finances to the Lord. You're like, God, I want to be a giver. And I'm challenged because if I give this $100, I'm not sure how you can bless that. But out of obedience, I'm going to go right there. So some people think, well, I got to give $1,000. That's faith. Listen, I'm going to tell you, $25. Maybe maybe you need friends, and you're like, I'm desperate for some friends. Let's not say you're desperate. Let's just say you have a need. You're like, I recognize I need some friends. None of you are desperate. That's crazy. You're not desperate. You're so good. God loves you. Everything you need is in God. You just came to the realization, I could use another friend in my life, all right? And so you're thinking, so what can I do? And you think, hey, you know what? I could join one of our life groups. I don't know how I'm going to find a friend there, but I'll just take a step. I'll just take a step. Maybe your business, you own a business, and you're like, I really need God to bless it. And you think, what can I do? And God says, hey, there's another leader in our church maybe you could talk to, get a little counsel. You say, well, I'll take a little step. Listen, God just uses little steps. He uses little yeses. God can take a seed size of yes and turn it into a harvest of miracles in your life. He's just looking for you to come into some agreement with him. God says, I know it's a big task. I'm a big God. Will you start to trust me and take a little step? Maybe your marriage is like totally messed up and you're like, I don't know how God can fix this, but let's sign up and go to get counseling one more time. God just wants you to take a step. A little step. A little yes. Amen? Change me, Lord. Help me to see something. I want to agree. And then we need to speak with prophecy. We need to speak with prophecy. Prophecy simply means saying what God is saying about a situation. That's it. Don't over-spiritualize it. Just find out what God's saying and say that. Find out what God's word says about it. Say that. The Lord instructed Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones. He said, tell the bones to listen to the word of God. He said, speak, like use your voice, like get the word in your heart and let it come out your mouth. Speak the word of God. Prophesy to your situation. Tell your circumstances to line up with the word of God. Now you may be like, that sounds kind of funky. It's okay if it's funky. If it's God's word and it works, I don't care if it's a little funky. I'm going to walk around my house marching and praying and saying, God, my shoulder needs to line up with the word of God. You said that you restore and heal all things. And so I'm right here. Listen, I was this week praying over this sermon, and one of the ways it says that the body began to come back together in this section, it says the muscles came, and then it said the sinews came together. Well, the sinew is the part of the body that's between the muscle and the bone, which is where I've been hurting in my shoulder. And so I was reading that, and so, you know, I was by myself. I was up in my bedroom upstairs writing my sermon. I want you to know, I was like, yeah, sinew, do what the Bible says. You know, you preach to yourself. Preach to the situation. Hey, I want to just give you a little bit of advice, if I may. Don't talk about your problems. Talk to your problems. God told Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones. In other words, speak God's word of your problem. Talking about your problems empowers the problem. Talking to your problem about what God's word says empowers God's word over it. Too many people sit and talk about their problems. Let me say it another way. Stop posting about your problems and start praying about your problems. Speak the word of God over your situation. Say things like, God's word says my marriage will be renewed. Say, God's word says my business will be blessed. God's word says I can pass this exam. God's word says that Jesus can heal my back. God's word says that my children will walk with you all the days of their lives. You need to get God's word in your heart, and then you need to say it to you until you believe it, and then you need to keep saying it until you have it. Stop complaining. And start praying. Start speaking prophetically. You're like, I've never prophesied. It's not that hard. Just get a word and say it over it. You have the gift of prophecy in you. If you can get God's word, if you can read the Bible, you can prophesy. Find a word, pray over it. You need to say things that line up your situation with what God is saying. Let me just help you. Let's just all say this together. Just repeat after me. I see my breakthrough. I am healed. I have a great marriage. I am blessed. I have great friends. I am not needy. In Jesus' name. Amen. You just prophesied over your situation. You're a spirit-filled, charismatic prophesier. Amen. 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 This brings me to my last point. Invite his power. Yeah. Since you are a spirit-filled prophesier, you might as well get his power involved. It says in the text, it says that this is what the sovereign Lord says. It says, come, O breath from the four winds, and breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again. Listen, the wind is the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit. Wind represents the Holy Spirit. And he said, come and breathe. Holy Spirit, come and breathe on these dead bones. Every person becomes a charismatic when they're in the valley. When your dream is dead, when your back is hurting, when your marriage is broken, that's a time you need to call out to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, breathe on this again. Cause these dead bones to come to life again. The Bible says that we are part of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You need to pray in Jesus' name that the power of the Holy Spirit come and encounter your situation and breathe life into it again. Amen? The Bible says, not by might, not by my power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Amen. We don't want to be stuck in the valley. I don't want you stuck in the valley. And so I want to pray for you today. Just have a little Holy Ghost moment in church today. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what you're going through, but I believe God wants to move today. And would you be just bold enough today in this church family? Would you stand to your feet if you have a valley experience going on in your life and you're like, I want you to pray for me? Your first prayer is, God, change me. I tricked you. You thought I was just going to pray for God to fix it all. Don't sit down now. Hey, here's the deal. We're hungry for God to move. And we want to pray for God to change us. We want to pray for God to help us see His answer. We want to pray that we can embrace what He's doing, embrace it a little yes. We want to just take that step today and believe God. Father, I pray right now that the four winds of the Holy Spirit would come into this room and begin to move on every situation, every circumstance, need that is here today. Father, I pray that You would begin to minister within us from the inside out. And God, I pray that whatever situation we're in, that we would see it as preparation time. You're strengthening us. You're giving us boldness and courage. You're giving us faith to walk it out. God, use this to change us, to make us stronger. And God, I pray that You'd help us to see what You can do. God, help us to take a step. And so, Lord, I just pray over Your church. You bless them today. And do miracles all over the house. And I thank You for Your testimonies that are coming. In Jesus' name. Amen, church. Amen. Would you give Jesus a clap? Awesome, awesome. Awesome. You may have a seat. Maybe you came to church today and you're brand new. You're like, I don't know half of what you're just talking about, Pastor Tim. I don't know who Ezekiel is. I'm not sure where the Old Testament is. I'm pretty sure if I asked you all to open your Bibles and flip to Ezekiel, the majority of us would go to the little thing at the front that tells us where it is. And that's okay. Maybe you've never said yes to Jesus Christ. I want my sins forgiven. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a believer. Maybe that's never happened in your life, and I don't know how you got here. Maybe a friend invited you. Somewhere through the day, the morning, you felt the Holy Spirit just saying, hey, I want you in my family. I want you to be part of what the family of God is. And the way we do that is we believe that Jesus died for our sins. We believe that Jesus came to earth and He loved us so much that He took our penalty, our punishment for what we did wrong upon Himself. And that's why He died. And He became the substitute for our penalty so that we could be forgiven completely free from the penalty of our sin. And that gives us what we have as an opportunity then to know the Father. The gulf that separates us from God is sin. And when Jesus pays the price for sin, now we know the Father and we come into His family. It's the greatest decision anyone ever makes. It's the greatest decision. It's bigger than and better than when you get married. It's better than the college you choose. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make is to choose Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I want to pray if there are people here that have never said, yes, I choose Jesus today, that this would be your moment to say yes to Jesus. Would you bow your heads one more time? And Lord, if there are people here that have never asked Jesus to forgive them of their sins, would you use this moment? Hey, with every head bowed, it's just me and you. If you want to pray that prayer for the first time, would you raise your hand to me and say, Pastor Tim, I want to pray a prayer today that Jesus would forgive all my sins. Is there anyone here today? Lord, we thank you. Thank you. Hey, let's all say this out loud together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. He died for my sins. I'm totally forgiven. In the name of Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's just celebrate Jesus today. Amazing, amazing. So good.